They don't know me anymore. I stand alone, just like before. My body's gone, my spirit too. The pact I've made, I've kept in full. No compromise, no drinking booze. Dare to struggle, dare to the battle outside is raging, but what are we waiting for? Let's go!
There is no way out unless you defeat Armageddon Man.
Unless I defeat him, what, you ain't gonna help me?
Nope.
Hello, this is Paul Kangas with Reality Sandwich on radio station KPOO in San Francisco. It's 1992, and it's gonna be a great year. A great year. Because there's so many interesting things happening all at once, all over the world. Well, this program is concentrating on issues here in the United States, specifically reopening the investigation as to who killed Martin Luther King, who killed Robert Kennedy, and who killed John Kennedy. People say, hey, they're dead. Why don't you just let the dead lay dead? Well, let me give you three historic examples of cases in which the people have taken cases like this and been able to make the most change in their country by using these kind of cases as a flag to indicate what direction history is going. You remember when this country was founded, the wagon trains came west, and you could tell the trails that the wagon trains took by the graves they left behind. If you look at our nation like a wagon train heading somewhere, you can tell what's happening to our nation by the graves we leave behind. The graves of Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and John Kennedy. But now, for some reason, in 1992, the American public is waking up. And the most recent example we have of this kind of thing happening is in the Philippines, where Marcos assassinates Aquino when Aquino comes back to run for the presidency against Marcos. It's like when John Kennedy's getting ready to run for the presidency against Richard Nixon in 1963. Nixon assassinates Kennedy, and nobody noticed. When the Philippines, they of course had read American history, because the Filipinos understand world history. In fact, the Filipino people to me represent the most advanced, democratic, educated, sophisticated people on the face of the earth, from what I can tell by studying them for the last 30 years. So when Marcos bumps off Aquino, the Filipino people don't roll over and play dead. What they do is they start their own alternative newspapers. Basically, they start out with leaflets and gather support and advertisers. Then they start their own alternative committees investigating the assassination of Aquino. Because they didn't fall for the lone assassination theory in this country, and they didn't fall for it over there either. In fact, when John Kennedy was assassinated, there was a worldwide outcry saying it was political, that the reasons John Kennedy was killed was because he cut off the air cover for the Bay of Pigs invasion, resulting in the worst single blow in history against the CIA. The CIA lost 115 of its best people, worst blow in history to the CIA, had 1,100 CIA agents imprisoned in Cuba. Worst blow in history. Kennedy cut off the air cover for that dumb invasion, and the CIA blamed Kennedy. Well, the CIA shouldn't have been invading just to get the sugar plantations back for Pepsi in the first place. So the CIA has no cause to blame Kennedy. Kennedy was doing the right thing, and Nixon and Bush were doing the wrong thing. So, in the Philippines, the Filipino people just created their own alternative counterculture to the Marcos government. They created their own government in their kitchens. It became a kitchen government. In the evening, people would be in their kitchens writing petitions, writing leaflets, writing banners. And then when the daybreak happened, they'd be out on the streets with all the material. A mass decentralized movement was created, and they kept democratically, peacefully pressuring Marcos with the truth. Hey, Marcos, you can't hide. We know you killed Aquino, something like that. Everywhere Marcos went, people were marching and demonstrating, calling for the jailing of Marcos for the assassination of Aquino. And what happened? Marcos had to step down due to mass pressure and grab his bank accounts and his wife's shoes and fly to Hawaii. Well, in this country, it didn't happen. The mass movement was terrorized by the CIA terrorists in this country, the George Bushes and the Richard Nixons, unleashed a bloody wave against the American population, murdering anybody who dared to speak up about the CIA's involvement in the assassination of John Kennedy. Any newspaper that dared to publish stories about the assassination of John Kennedy that didn't follow the party line of Oswald and follow the Warren Commission report, all of a sudden found their advertisers being visited by CIA and FBI people threatening the advertisers, saying, don't advertise in this newspaper or on that TV station or that radio station because it's not following the party line. And that's what's gone on in this country for 28 years, terrorism to keep the truth suppressed. Well, for some reason, Oliver Stone, having been to Vietnam and been wounded twice, nearly being killed twice, he'd been to the top of the mountain. He'd been to the mountain, and he realized that life is precious, but that when you're here for a reason, not just to spend time in front of the TV watching the lies. You're here to do something with your life. Think about it. Why are you here? What are you doing with your life? You're here to make a dent. That's the reason you're here. To make a dent for the truth, for progress, for evolution. And so Stone has created an opening, the first serious opening the American population has had in 28 years against CIA terrorism. So we should use this opening now to create a mass movement. Everybody hearing this program should immediately sit down and write up a article and try and get it in your local newspaper, a letter to the editor. Call up the editor and see if you can write an opinion piece for the editorial page. You know, some newspapers allow that. And if everybody starts doing it, and I got news for you, there are thousands of people all over the country right now doing it. My phone won't stop ringing. By the way, if you want to reach me, my phone number is 897-0153 in the 415 area. My phone rings constantly now. People calling from all over the country trying to get involved in this network to reopen the investigation of John Kennedy, like the Filipino people did. Now I'll give you another historical example. This historical example is so powerful, it has caused probably 500,000 books to be written about it, and yet the average American is unaware of it. In France, about 150 years ago, a man named Dreyfus was a general in the French army. And he was one of the top ranking generals in the French army. All of a sudden, a slander appeared against him. He was arrested for giving state secrets to the Germans. He gave the secret French recipe for pizza pie to the Germans. No, just kidding. Anyhow, some nonsense like that they accused him of. And he was tried and convicted and sent to prison for spying for the Germans. It took 12 years for him to be freed. And who spoke up to free him? Nobody, except small left-wing newspapers and leaflets, pamphleteers, people who had, you know, individuals, basically, who were so upset when they saw the trial of Dreyfus. And they realized, watching the trial, that Dreyfus was on trial not for having given state secrets to the Germans. Do you know why Dreyfus was on trial? Do you know that history? Ask yourself. Why was Dreyfus on trial? Dreyfus was on trial for being... What's the answer? You know it. Come on. Tell me. What's the answer? He didn't give state secrets to the Germans, so why was Dreyfus on trial? Say the name Dreyfus a couple times, and what nationality do you think Dreyfus was? That's right. Dreyfus was on trial for being Jewish, because there was a wave of anti-Semitism sweeping through Europe at the time. And nobody spoke up, other than a few individuals sitting around in their kitchen, writing leaflets at night, and going out on the street the next day and selling the leaflets. For 12 years, activists did that, continually harping on, hey, Dreyfus was prosecuted because he was Jewish, not because he was giving state secrets, and everybody ignored them. The media totally ignored people speaking up against this racist act, except for one individual, somebody with the equivalent of Oliver Stone in France. Do you know the name of that one individual? Well, I'll tell you. And when this case happened, when it broke, all of a sudden, all over the world, newspapers realized what had gone on in France for the last 12 or 15 years. And one writer said that the small movement to free Dreyfus did more to educate the people of France about democracy than any event in French history. Now, I don't know if I dare tell you who said that, because if I tell you who said that, I might be labeled. But I'll tell you anyhow. A man named Vladimir Lenin said that the movement to free Dreyfus in France had a greater effect on French democracy than a general strike would have had. Okay, who was that one person in France, one powerful media person, who picked up one of these leaflets and said, my God, you're right. A man named Zola. Today in America, we finally have a Zola. Oliver Stone is our Zola. And so what's happening to Zola? The same thing that happened to Zola in France. What happened to Zola in France when he spoke up? Well, who was Zola? Zola was a writer, the most popular writer France had ever produced up to that point in history. His books were reprinted worldwide. He had a chair in the main university of France. He was the most renowned, respected individual in France, with a greater stature than Oliver Stone. Possibly, just possibly, a greater stature than Paul Kangas even. But what happened when Zola spoke up in defense of Dreyfus? Well, his books were banned. All of a sudden they discovered that he had been born in Germany. His passport was taken away. He was arrested. He was put on trial. He was attacked by every newspaper in France. And he was deported after he was convicted of some sort of treasonous act. His life was ruined. Now, I'm calling upon you, the listeners of this program, to write a leaflet about the murder of Martin Luther King and John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and to do something, speak out. I'll tell you one thing you can do. We have a petition here, a petition to Congress to reopen the investigation of John Kennedy. I want you to ruin your life. Hey, what an incentive, huh? I want you to ruin your career, right? Just like Zola did. I'm serious, you know. Those of you who have privileged positions, those of you who are editors of newspapers, Bruce Brugman, for instance, would you dare raise a serious issue in your newspaper that has worldwide significance, Bruce, and call for reopening the investigation into who killed Martin Luther King? Now, I'll give you an example of how the reason why Kennedy was killed. There was five reasons why Kennedy was killed. One I mentioned earlier, he cut off the air cover for the Bay of Pigs. And then he did another unforgivable thing. He issued a presidential order withdrawing all military personnel, all U.S. personnel, including CIA people, from Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, from the Golden Triangle. And they didn't call the Golden Triangle, because they were mining gold there. No siree, Bob. They called it the Golden Triangle because it was the world's largest source of heroin. Remember the movie The French Connection? The French were in Vietnam before the United States. In 1958, when it looked like the French were going to be kicked out, and Bush and Nixon's worldwide supply of heroin would be jeopardized, Richard Nixon went to the South Vietnamese government and said, look, if our French connection gets kicked out, have no fear. You got to remember, Nixon was vice president in 1958. Did you remember that? I'm sure you did. Nixon goes over there and promises the South Vietnamese government that if French connection gets kicked out, the U.S. will come in and maintain the supply of heroin. Well, unfortunately, Richard Nixon didn't get reelected president in 1960 when he was supposed to. Some underdog, unknown Catholic to boot, from Massachusetts, I forget his name, got elected president of the United States by the smallest electoral margin in history. And what did he do immediately? He issued an order withdrawing all U.S. personnel out of Vietnam. He was going to cut off the heroin supply from Vietnam. He could have saved millions of American youth from being poisoned by crack cocaine. That's what John Kennedy did for us. He tried to save the children of 1992. He didn't know that Bush and Nixon would succeed in creating an epidemic of crack cocaine in the United States with their drug network. But Kennedy could have saved millions of young Americans if he had lived. If he had lived, the Vietnam War would not have happened. 20 million Vietnamese children and women and men would not have died. And 58,000 American men would not have died. We have a petition circulating to put John Kennedy's name on the monument in Washington, D.C. as one of the people killed during the Vietnam War. Because if he had lived, the Vietnam War would not have happened. Okay, that was number two thing he did, stop the war in Vietnam. Number three thing he did is John Kennedy discovered that the Federal Reserve is not a federal agency. And you know what he did next? Well, let me tell you, right after this musical break.
Made a big mistake.
A mistake? But I thought you were like the goddess of truth.
Not exactly. See, I am the spirit of information. I run general reference at that big library out there.
The main branch?
You have all the power that is mine to give. It's up to you to stop Armageddon Man.
It's the breath of life. They want to smother. So fight for life, the earth, your mother. Fight for your sisters and your brothers. If we lose this fight, there won't be another. It's the brave.
thank you to the San Francisco Mime Troupe. They were all here in the studio doing that program, and they're all walking out now. That came to you live right off their record. And thank you, San Francisco Mime Troupe, for that wonderful music. All right, as promised, I want you to take out a $5 bill, and I'm going to show you what John Kennedy did that got him killed. And the evidence is in your pocket. If you still have a $5 bill left, the landlord hasn't stolen it. Okay, take a look at the top of the $5 bill. It says, United States, well, what does it say? I don't even have one. The one I'm looking at is an old Kennedy $5 bill. It says Federal Reserve Note. Yeah, there we go. It's on all your money. Federal Reserve Note. What's a Federal Reserve? Federal Reserve is a private British bank that prints our money and then charges us interest on the money that circulates. Billions of dollars a year. Kennedy discovered this and he said, whoa, none of that. I mean, the Brits have had it too good, too long. Brits out of Ireland and Brits out of the U.S. Kicked the Federal Reserve out of the U.S. So what did Kennedy do? He kicked the Federal Reserve out of the United States. He started printing $5 and $2 bills, and on the top of the note it said, United States Note. He saved the American public billions of dollars from 1962 to 63 just by that one small move. So what happened immediately after John Kennedy is killed? My gosh, isn't that interesting? All the $5 bills and $2 bills that he printed disappeared out of circulation just like that. Just like that. All of a sudden. So if you'd like a copy of this petition that we have explaining why we're calling for reopening the investigation in who killed John Kennedy, for releasing the files from Dallas, and releasing the White House tapes from the Watergate period, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope to P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. And, that was too fast, sorry. Well, grab a pencil and we'll do that again. Okay, the petition. P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. And by the way, we have other materials that are available. If you'll send us a donation of $2, we'll send you a packet of materials. And if you want it on video, we have an excellent video. Send us a donation of $29 and we'll send you the video. And we have a special report that covers the assassination of John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy, which is available also. And that's $10 donation. By the way, the opinions expressed on this program are solely the opinions of the author. And by the way, I'm not only an author, I was a bodyguard for President John Kennedy in 1961. And I presently work as a private investigator. And if you would like to talk to me, please call my office at 897-0153 and we'll talk about the petition. But if you want any material, just write to us. And by the way, there's several bookstores in San Francisco where you can get the book by Jim Garrison, which was made into the Oliver Stone movie. The book is called On the Trail of the Assassins, and it's available at Marcus Books at Fillmore and Geary, and Forrester Books at 16th and Valencia. So please patronize those who support freedom of speech. All right, now let's talk about the assassination of Martin Luther King for a while here. You got to remember who Martin Luther King was. Some people may not remember, but let me give you a short history in hopes to encourage one of you young new filmmakers out there to make a film about this. See, Martin Luther King Jr. was from Georgia, and he was rather central to the civil rights movement, especially there in Georgia. Yet somehow, when Martin Luther King was murdered in Memphis, Tennessee, it was the Atlanta, Georgia intelligence unit of the FBI that was assigned the case of investigating the death of King. and as we shall see later, knew just how to handle it from the military-industrial complex point of view. That is, suppress the evidence. And two other members of the Martin Luther King family, active in the civil rights movement, met untimely deaths in Georgia when they tried to take over the leadership of the movement after Martin Luther King was killed. Did you know that Martin Luther King had a brother named A.D. King? His brother was 38 years old. And immediately after Martin Luther King was murdered, his brother, A.D. King, took over leadership of the civil rights movement. And he was a great leader, wonderful organizer, very able to work with diverse groupings in the civil rights movement. Well, he was found beaten to death and drowned in the bottom of his swimming pool on July 21st, 1969, a year after Martin Luther King was killed. And yet, almost nobody remembers that. And the county medical examiner, the coroner, immediately asserted, even before any autopsy was performed, that there was no evidence of a crime. And other spokespeople for the military-industrial complex chimed in, saying, oh, it was just one of those freak things, you know. He just was beaten. He probably fell down. The bruises on his face are probably in his head. He just fell down and then rolled over and drowned in the swimming pool. The, you know, bumps all over his head don't indicate that somebody took a lead pipe to him. It just indicates that he fell down and maybe he bumped his head on the lawn chair or something and then rolled over into the pool and drowned. Yet, the newspapers in this country totally covered up the assassination of Martin Luther King's brother, just like they covered up the assassination of Martin Luther King. Then, the mother of Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. She was assassinated by a so-called lone assassin. Her name was Alberta Williams King. She was shot to death in one of those lone assassination incidents on June 30th, 1974. And the accused lone assassin, in this case, is a Marcus Wayne Chenault. Again, federal as well as local authorities and the police of Chenault's Dayton, Ohio hometown all ran up to available microphones to proclaim that there was no evidence of a conspiracy. Yet the Daytona police concluded in the same breath that Chenault was a member of some mysterious cult called the Troop, which had its office in Guyana, the same place where Jonestown was. This was before Jonestown. There will be more on the next program. Until then, here's some more music for your enjoyment. And this has been Paul Kangas with Reality Sandwich from KPOO. A man the band likes to call the saxophone player. Only been playing saxophone for 3 weeks. Isn't that amazing? And on my right, on a work release program from San Bruno County Jail, on Leopard's Johnson, the one, the only. Freedom in